Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Has anyone driven a Ford lately?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Ford has tried and tried to turn things around, but something always seems to break down. Now the Detroit News says Ford may lay off about 2,000 people, 10 to 12% of its workforce. Last week, Ford said it's cutting production and that it won't make a profit by next year, which was the goal. Gas prices are a killer for the SUV and truck business. But the price of oil has fallen $6 this week. It's at $127 a barrel this morning. I wouldn't get too excited, but there is reason to think the price drop might stick. Here's Jeremy Hobson.
Analyst Tom Kloza at the Oil Price Information Service says just look at the calendar. For 23 of the last 26 years, he says, the peak in oil prices has come right before Memorial Day.
History's on our side here, although this has been a year that's thrown us quite a few head fakes. So it's a little bit premature to say that maybe that big bull run for the first part of 2008 is over.
Now, there are all sorts of things that drive the price of oil: the strength of the dollar, speculation, and lately, dropping demand in the U.S.
We're also getting the sense now that maybe the rest of the world is slowing down a little bit as well. $135 for crude was an awfully high number.
In other words, don't think of this as the start of a bear market, rather a correction. In terms of what's ahead, Kloza says,
I expect chaos, but I'm tired and I would really welcome some order right now.
In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Despite the drop in oil prices, Wall Street's gains are modest this morning. So far, the Dow is up 21 points to 12,569. The NASDAQ is up 3. The S&P 500 has gained 1 point. In Asia, the markets were some up, some down. European shares are definitely higher, as much as 1.5%. Our sign of the times for today: the Dollar Tree reported a 14% increase in profits. The Senate is about to start debating a cap-and-trade program for carbon emissions. All three of the presidential candidates support this idea. Commentator Robert Reich looks at how those plans differ.
With John McCain now on board for a cap-and-trade system, it's a certainty that we'll have a president next year who wants to address global warming by imposing an overall cap on U.S. carbon emissions, which will drop annually. The trade part of the equation is that companies that find efficient ways to cut emissions can sell the unused portions of their permits to others. But look more closely and you see a big difference Democratic candidates on how the permits are allocated. McCain's proposal would give the lion's share to companies that are now the biggest polluters. This does have some logic to it. After all, as the overall cap tightens each year, the biggest polluters face the largest challenges in cutting emissions. By contrast, Senators Obama and Clinton have both proposed allocating permits through an auction. Under this system, every company, large or small, would have to buy rights to pollute. As a result, the biggest polluters would have to pay the most, thereby providing them with the greatest incentive to cut emissions right from the start. This makes more sense. Our atmosphere belongs to all of us, and polluters should have to pay to use it. The citizens of Alaska and Alberta, Canada, get yearly dividends from the oil companies that take away their natural resources. Why shouldn't the same principle apply when industries use the biggest common resource of all? The money they pay for permits could be returned as yearly dividends to every American family. Now, it stands to reason that if polluters have to pay for the right to pollute, some of these costs might be passed on to consumers in the form of higher prices. But the yearly dividend checks would offset any price increases. So next time you hear about cap and trade, ask the all-important question: how are the permits allocated? A carbon auction gets my bid.
Robert Reich's latest book is called Super Capitalism. He has endorsed Barack Obama. Your thoughts are always welcome at marketplace.org.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Areva, solutions for producing CO2-free energy and transmitting and distributing electricity. Online at us.areva.com. And by Grant Thornton, serving their audit, tax, and advisory clients worldwide with people who love what they do. Online at grantthornton.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Leaving your iPod out in the sun doesn't sound like a good idea, but that might be the idea if Apple gets a new patent. The company wants to insert solar cells underneath the touchscreens on iPods and iPhones, so you wouldn't need to connect your device to anything. Just leave it out in the sun. Perhaps the company can win a Kavli Award. Never heard of it? Well, the first one is being awarded today. Like the Nobel Prize, the Kavli is named for a man from Scandinavia. He's giving the winner $1 million. Janet Babin reports from our innovations desk at North Carolina Public Radio.
Fred Kavli is a Norwegian-born businessman who made a fortune in sensor technology. But the California resident always loved science and wanted to give back.
I've long thought that I want to do something of long-range benefit to humankind.
Part of his legacy will be the Kavli Awards. They recognize creativity in nanoscience, neuroscience, and astrophysics. The winners were chosen by an independent panel of researchers, and the prizes have no strings attached.
We are letting them do whatever they wish to do with the money, so we are not telling them what to do.
I guess that's part of the joy of winning the Kavli Prize, huh?
Absolutely, it should be.
Kavli says he wants to fund basic research at a time when governments and universities are pulling back. The prizes will be awarded every 2 years. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
It's a buyer's market for real estate, and you could have this. A lovely brick and stone Victorian circa 1897 in the beautiful state of Maine. It's 14,000 square feet, has an excellent security system, and it's only $200,000. It's the Somerset County Jail. The county hopes somebody will buy it and turn it into an art gallery or a restaurant. Maybe you could call it Bread and Water. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.